Some of you may have heard of the holiday Rosh Hashanah, or in a more Americanized form, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head, and Hashanah means the year. So Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. The Jewish New Year will be celebrated this week, but it's very different than the worldly New Year's parties. It is a time of rejoicing, but it's also a time of serious introspection, prayer, and penitence. A time to celebrate the completion of another year while also taking stock of one's life. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. Rosh Hashanah is said to take place on the first day of the seventh month, Tishri, not the first month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan, which marks the beginning of Passover, as instructed in Exodus 12:2. The first of Nisan was considered the calendar new year and the new year for kings and for the order of festivals. Even though Rosh Hashanah falls in the seventh month, later rabbinic tradition decided to designate it the beginning of the year. Although the origin of this tradition may have been adopted from the Babylonians, the rabbis imbued it with Jewish significance as the anniversary of the day on which the world was created, or more specifically, the day on which humanity was created. God created the world in 6 days, and Adam and Eve were formed on day six. Jewish people celebrate Rosh Hashanah as the anniversary of their creation. Now, it may seem strange that the new year is not celebrated 6 days earlier to coincide with the anniversary of the first day of creation. In fact, one of the prayers spoken during the services is, "This day is the beginning of your works, a remembrance of the first day." We would assume that the beginning of God's works was on day one of creation. But interestingly, Jewish people believe that it is humans through whom the true purpose of creation is fulfilled. So they view the day of mankind's creation as the day of the beginning of God's works. It's the time when God's goal in making the world started to be fulfilled. The basis for Rosh Hashanah comes from Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24 through 25, in which God told Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." The original word translated as blowing of trumpets is teruah, which means a shout or blast. The shofar is blown on Rosh Hashanah in order to fulfill this commandment. The New Year holiday of trumpets mentioned in Leviticus 23 is further expanded upon in Numbers 29, where it is called Yom Teruah, Day of Blowing Trumpets, referring to the blowing of the shofar. It was not until the 2nd century AD when scholars compiling the Mishnah, the codification of Jewish oral law, designated Rosh Hashanah, literally head of the year, on the first day of Tishri as the new year of years, and deemed it to commemorate the beginning of God's creation. It is for this reason that the holiday is also considered a day of remembrance, and Jews on this date commemorate the creation of the universe. In 2024, Rosh Hashanah will be celebrated this week, beginning at sundown on the evening of Wednesday, October 2nd, and ending at sundown on Friday, October 4th. According to the Jewish calendar, the year 5784 will end at sunset on October 2nd, and then the year 5785 will begin. Rosh Hashanah will last a total of 2 days and then usher in a 10-day period known as the 10 Days of Repentance, also sometimes called the Days of Awe, which culminate in the major fast day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. These days of awe are the climax of a longer process that started at the beginning of the previous month. So let me back up a little bit to provide some context. In traditional Jewish practice, the daily prayers are divided into three separate services: a morning service, afternoon service, and evening service. The morning service is the most extensive of the services. It includes a series of passages from Psalms, the Shema and its subsequent blessings, and penitential prayers. Starting at the beginning of the month before Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is traditionally sounded at the conclusion of the morning service. The shofar is a ram's horn that makes a trumpet-like sound. The shofar is intended as a wake-up call to prepare for the holidays. And we'll talk more about the shofar in a moment. 1 week before Rosh Hashanah, special petitionary prayers are added to the ritual. In regards to the liturgy for Rosh Hashanah, the prayer book for the high holidays is called the Mazor. Three unique sets of prayers are added to the morning services during Rosh Hashanah. One set addresses the sovereignty of God. Another set presents God as the one who remembers past deeds. And the third set, known as the Shofarot, relates to standing in nervous anticipation of the future. After the reading of these three sets of prayers that are added to the usual morning service in the synagogue, the shofar is blown. The sounding of the ram's horn at the synagogue service is the most distinctive observance of Rosh Hashanah. One reason the shofar is used for this holiday may be because the most memorable Torah reading for the holiday is the binding of Isaac, which is detailed in Genesis 22. It's a familiar story in which Abraham obeyed God and was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his son. When Isaac inquired where was the lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham prophetically stated that God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Later, when the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham with the knife poised to slay Isaac, Abraham saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham took the ram and offered it up for burnt offering in the place of his son. The first 30 blasts of the shofar are blown following the Torah reading during morning services, and as many as 70 additional are blown during and immediately after the Musaf service, adding up to 100 blasts over the course of the Rosh Hashanah morning services. Now, the shofar is a ram's horn that is blown like a trumpet. And these are a couple examples that my husband and I got when we traveled to Israel, oh my goodness, 25 years ago, roughly, or longer. These are small ones. We actually have a longer one that's probably 2.5 feet long, kind of a corkscrew shape to it. Beautiful, but it's in storage somewhere. So I don't know. I don't know exactly where it is. I couldn't find it for today's episode, but I did want to show you a couple samples of smaller ones. And of course, these would be ram's horns called shofars. And I do not know how to blow one, but my husband was actually pretty good at it at one time. Now, the biblical text doesn't go into precisely the reason that it's so important that we hear a teruah, but there are a few possibilities. You might think that the shofar was the only horn-like instrument that the Israelites had in the desert when they were given the commandments, but they had a number of instruments with them, including silver trumpets. So the use of the shofar doesn't seem to have been a necessity, but the shofar is explicitly mentioned at times in the Bible, such as when the Ten Commandments were received on Mount Sinai. And at the beginning of the Jubilee year, shofars were also blown by warriors in battle and by musicians in the temple. Additionally, because of the relevance of the story of Abraham and Isaac, the ram's horn makes a perfect allusion to that biblical story. Plus, Jewish people consider the sound of the shofar to be both earthly and divine. It comes from an animal, a living being, so it isn't man-made. And the shofar isn't a musical instrument. It sounds more like a voice crying out. It is a battle cry or a mournful cry. Hearing the shofar's call is a reminder to look inward and repent for the sins of the past year. One rabbi said, "Isn't it appropriate for the instrument that calls us to reflect and repent to sound like a human voice?" I want to mention a few other traditions with this holiday. On the afternoon of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, except when it falls on the Sabbath, it is customary for many to recite penitential prayers at a river, and then they throw crumbs or pieces of bread, symbolizing their sins, into the flowing water. This ceremony is called Tashlich, which means "thou will cast," because they symbolically cast their sins into the water. In addition to the prayer services that include the sounding of the shofar on both mornings, Rosh Hashanah is celebrated with lighting candles in the evenings, festive meals with sweet delicacies during the night and day, and desisting from creative work. Tradition dictates that delicacies be prepared for Rosh Hashanah as omens of good luck in the new year. Challah bread and fruit, usually apples, are dipped in honey and eaten after a special blessing for a sweet new year. Challah on Rosh Hashanah is made round rather than the usual oval shape. So what ultimately is the point of the holiday? Remember that the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, actually means head of the year. Just like the head controls the body, one's actions on Rosh Hashanah have a tremendous impact on the rest of the year. In marking the new year, it is simultaneously a time of great celebration and subtle trepidation. It is a day to celebrate creation, but also a day of accounting and judgment for one's actions. On Rosh Hashanah, people relate to God as the ultimate judge. The Jewish people believe that on this holiday, God opens the books of life and death. The righteous are inscribed in the book of life, and the unrighteous in the book of death. We are supposed to review the choices that we've made over the past year, our actions and our intentions, as we attempt to honestly evaluate ourselves. The story of Abraham and Isaac and the shofar serve as reminders of the covenant between God and the people of Israel, carrying with them the message of sacrifice, hope, and continuity. Medieval commentators suggest that the shofar blasts, acclaim God as the ruler of the universe, recall the divine revelation at Sinai, and are a call for spiritual reawakening and repentance. Hearing the shofar's call is a reminder to look inward and repent for the sins of the past year. According to Jewish tradition, this is the time of year during which we are to atone for both our individual and, on Yom Kippur, our communal sins committed over the course of the previous year before God literally closes the books and inscribes our fates for the coming year. God's rule over humanity and our need to serve God are stressed time and again over the course of the holiday. For the Jewish people, the season of the high holidays is a time for an epic journey for the soul, and Rosh Hashanah is where it all begins. On Rosh Hashanah, a common greeting is Shana Tova, which means good year. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, Shana Tova. Take care and God bless.